The Institute of Medicine reports more than 100 million Americans suffer from chronic pain at a cost of up to $635 billion each year in medical treatment and lost productivity. In this edition of the Bioethics Channel, we introduce a voice of pain, Maggie Buckley. The interview took place September 2012 in Kansas City, Missouri.
My name is Maggie Buckley, and at the age of 13, after years of pain and other health issues, I was diagnosed with a condition called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It's a genetic connective tissue disorder, and in my case, it presents with lots of bruising, very fragile skin, joints that dislocate, and rupture of organs and vessels is a potential hazard for me.
You know, you went through during your presentation today in Kansas City, Missouri. It almost sounded like a Rubik's Cube of different kinds of medical conditions,
yes.
Half a dozen or more that complicate things.
Yes, absolutely. You know, secondary to the Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, because Ehlers-Danlos syndrome does have a lot of pain, I also have fibromyalgia, which it, you know, if you have a lot of pain, you're sleep deprived, you're more likely to develop something like that. In addition, I suffer from migraines, and I have vulvodynia, Raynaud's, reflux, gastroesophageal reflux disorder, celiac and endometriosis, arthritis, a bunch of other things.
It just sounds like with all of those that it's a daily battle to find some relief, but then not to mention even the really common things that people take for granted from day to day.
That's true. With Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs do absolutely nothing. They've actually proven that in research. So it's a challenge to come up with ways to help myself. You know, from the moment I wake up in the morning, I have to stop and think, okay, what position is my body in? Where are my limbs? Can I feel everything? Because dislocations cause impingement, nerve impingement, which it affects feeling, it affects, in many cases, there's a temporary paralysis, and I've experienced paralysis that's been anything from a few minutes to a few weeks because of that. So I have to be very mindful about my body, where I'm moving, how I'm moving, what I'm doing, how I eat, getting enough exercise, taking time to meditate, to think about what I want to do for the day, because you don't want to increase stress, that would amplify pain. So doing something you don't want to do isn't going to help in that.
So it sounds like a navigating day to day, and then you navigate something as huge as the medical system and trying to figure out how to make your way through the medical system to get relief as well.
Right, because every time I'm talking to a healthcare provider, I need to communicate to them how I feel and what I need to make me feel better and convince them to help me get it. Whether it's a referral for physical therapy, whether it's a prescription, whether it's guidance or pointing me in the right direction to take a class on meditation, whatever it might be. And so I have to become very creative in how I describe what I'm feeling. So instead of saying just, oh, my feet hurt, my feet feel like they're in a bag of pebbles with glass shards in there. And that's just sitting here. And when I stand up, those glass shards really start to poke and burn. You know, that would make them understand how serious the pain is. Because you usually see them cringe at the thought of, oh, I don't want to feel that.
You know, we've had some people talk about the pain scale and laughing about it a little bit. Well, what do you think about the pain scale?
I think that the pain scale, it's one of many tools that can be used. And if the individual using the pain scale has defined it and has provided the healthcare provider with, when I'm at a 5, this is what it means. When I'm at a 10, I can't talk and light hurts, for example. So they've defined it and they give the provider, hopefully it's an ongoing relationship, and so they give a provider a copy of what that is. In my case, my pain scale that I use with my GP is also color-coded. So that when I am at a 9 or a 10, which I know when I'm in a 9 or a 10 I can't talk, I can still point to a color, and my provider or my husband or other family and friends, caregivers, will know what my pain level is.
So navigating the medical system, navigating day to day, and then there's navigating the insurance aspects of this. And you're telling a story about how you were trying to get, I think it was medication for something, and there was some dancing around by various physicians who were saying, yeah, that works, but not me.
Right. They don't want to be the one who prescribes it because there's serious side effects that potentially could happen with the particular topical medication that I'm would like to try. So convincing them which one of them is going to be the one to prescribe it, their liability, because I'm in an HMO, I guess is higher because I have to go outside of the HMO to get this particular topical medication from a compounding pharmacy, and my HMO doesn't have a compounding pharmacy.
So you have all that day to day, the challenges that you've talked about, and then one thing that we brought up consistently over the last couple of days is the idea of hope. And you talked about with people who suffer from pain, that there are two or three things that they really want, and hope is at the top, and there are a couple of others.
People with pain want to know that at some point the pain is going to go away, or something, not even that it's going to go away, it's just going to be tolerable. I recognize that my pain will always be here, and if I can just get it down to a 2 or a 3 or even a 4, I know I can get through the day, and I have hope. Meeting people at events like this, getting to my message out, hearing other people's message, reminding them that there are people with pain out there in the world who are looking to them for answers, for direction, for coaching. That isn't what they really want, that the overarching thing that they're looking for is hope. Convince me, as a person with pain, that it is going to get better, that somebody does care, that somebody believes me, and that I'm going to get some help. Otherwise, I might as well pack it in now.
Maggie, thanks.
You've been listening to the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org. Practicalbioethics.org. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.